T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Win this game.
Yes.
If you hit somebody in the mouth,
we're going to get physical. We're going to get ugly right now.
Olin Krutz.
I'll be completely honest with you. I feel like 100%. I got no excuse for you. I just play like today.
14-year NFL veteran.
Olin Krutz was a warrior. He embodies what a football player is.
6-time Pro Bowler and 4-time NFL All-Pro.
Olin was the best center in the league, and he made me a better player and competitor. We all looked up to you, Olin.
Analyst for 670 The Score and NBC Sports Chicago.
I'd like to punch him in his face.
I saw Olin Krutz said he wanted to punch me in the face.
Yeah, I'd like to punch him in his face.
If we were going to make a list of all the people who wanted to punch Aaron Rodgers in the face, and if it was alphabetical, Olin Krutz's name wouldn't come up for a very long time.
Co-host of the No Name Football Podcast.
Brandon Staley, he's got a lot to prove, too. You know, if I got to watch Brandon Staley give me another speech on life, a 38-year-old who's coached 5 games, I might barf all over myself while people trip over themselves trying to compliment him. But anyway, Brandon Staley, I like him.
It's really important to me and how we do things around here.
I like him a lot.
Olin Krutz.
The conversation is about the toughest guy in the room. Olin Krutz is being talked about.
Olin Krutz with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
A lot of new material for Olin Krutz is open this week. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Heyo.
What's up, guys? How's it going, man?
Oh, it's going great. Why'd you have to come at my guy Brandon Staley? Why'd you have to do that?
It's just, you know, man, I mean, let the guy coach a few more games before we, what did Danny Green famously say, before we crown him and say that he knows everything and he speaks on everything in life and 38 years old. I mean, I don't even know if this guy has any kids yet. He hasn't been through much, losing as of yet. So until you face some adversity, I don't really want to hear from you much.
Aren't you like 5 years older than Brandon Staley?
Yeah, I am, but I don't preach. And when I say things, everybody doesn't trip over themselves and say how great I sound saying it.
Well, that's true. I guess that's true. Although you got a lot of love for saying you wanted to punch Aaron Rodgers in the face.
Oh, no, I got a lot of other things, too. My Twitter DMs and Instagram have been awesome with Packers fans. They have a lot of passion.
Yeah, keyboard warriors, though, right? Something tells me you're not scared.
No, it's fun. It's fun. It's part of football. You know, they love their quarterback up there, as they should. But that doesn't make you feel any less about punching him in the face.
Well, here comes another one. How'd you feel when Tom Brady piled on a little bit? You see that? It's like, he's got writers who wrote that quip for him, but he piled on with Jim Gray. It's not fun to have the Bears be the laughingstock they are from two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in successive weeks.
No, it sucks, man, when they're talking like that. And, you know, you start watching it over and over again. Aaron Rodgers doing that at that touchdown to end the game, to pretty much put the game out of reach. And then right when the wound starts to heal, Tom Brady obviously brings it up again. So it does suck, like you said, to be the laughingstock of the NFL. But eventually the only way to fix it is on the field, trying to win football games and trying to find our own Hall of Fame quarterback and get our offense going and get our offense in the end zone.
Do you see any football reasons for optimism for the Bears on Sunday?
Well, I had to search, right, and look through the numbers, and you're always trying to find ways that the Bears can win the game when you analyze them every week. And obviously it always starts with them, how the hell are they going to put the ball in the end zone. But this week, I mean, I think the biggest reason for optimism, obviously, is always the defense. And, you know, obviously with Robert Quinn out and already Atachu on the IR, you know, that really hurts them, their pass rush. But Tampa Bay has been held to 19 points. Obviously, that was in New England. And then, you know, they obviously, so the Bears are going to have to do that. They're going to have to hold, you know, Tampa Bay under 20 points to have any chance here and, you know, cause some takeaways. So it's all going to obviously depend on the defense. And then hopefully we can design some play action passes. I know you guys have been talking about that. Everybody's been talking about that to take advantage of their secondary that's really depleted back there. You know, try to get some pass interference calls on them like they did with Marquise Goodwin last week on that first touchdown drive. Try to hit Cole Kmet in the middle of the field. They did run like a little trap pass there. It was the first time I seen them do that with that kind of creativity this year. Good to see Cole Kmet involved. So just hopefully you can see things like that. You know, even with the Rams had them to 17 points with under 5 minutes left in the second half. So and then they scored a late touchdown, Tampa Bay did, with their only loss of the year. So with the Bears being the best defense they faced this year, guys, that is their only chance really to win this game.
Olin, the kind of running plays that the Bears have been so successful with over the last 3 weeks, mm-hmm. With the middle of that line performing as well as they have, there seems to be this fear that they just can't do it at all against mm-hmm. Tampa Bay because Ndamukong Suh and Vita Vea are so big and so strong. Is that true? Or what would you, as a center, do about those two enormous guys when it comes to those specific kind of running plays? Do you still try and run them? Do you do something different?
No, they're really, really hard to run the ball against. And Vita Vea is probably the best in the NFL what he does. He's probably the best nose guard in the NFL. And the scary thing about him is he can put on a really good pass rush. He's a really good pass rusher, too. You'll see him use his hump move with his right arm and run right through offensive linemen. It scares you a little bit because Dean Lowry last week had a sack and put a pressure on Fields through Cody Whitehair and through the middle of that line, the middle line with Kenny Clark. And Lowry last week gave them some problems. So Vita Vea and Sue are going to be a problem. I know their linebacker David is out, but they still got White. I don't know if Jason Pierre-Paul is going to play, but they still got Barrett. They just got a lot of guys up front, same way that the Chicago Bears do. If the Chicago Bears do come in healthy, hopefully most of those guys play. We know Quinn is on the COVID list. But it's going to be hard. You have to run at them a little bit, obviously. But the problem with the Bears, Speaks, like we know, is even when they're running the ball well, they don't score points. So you got to run the ball, hopefully get those safeties to creep up, get the linebackers' eyes off the middle of the field just a little bit, give them a token fake somewhere and try to get some big plays down the field with Allen Robinson and Mooney on all these backup cornerbacks that they got. Problem is that these guys know that you want to get the ball out fast, so they get their hands up. They do a nice job pushing that pocket, putting the offensive linemen that they go against in the quarterback's lap. So it's going to have to be a nice little design, nice little, you know, maybe a half rollout, give them a 7-8-man protection, leave the tight ends in, not Cole Kmet, but Jesse James can stay in, J.P. Holtz. They'll be using Alex Bars a lot in a jumbo formation. He can help with blocking, leave some extra blockers in, and run some deep routes down the field every once in a while. And then hopefully once this year, week 7, hopefully we can get a nice design screen and get it to actually work.
We're talking to Olin Kreutz here on a Bears Friday, Parkins and Spiegel on the Score. Of course, you'll hear him on the pregame show presented by Bet Rivers, then on the post-post show with Big Ant Heron, NBC Sports Chicago football after show. He's everywhere on your Bears Sundays. It's really high praise for you, Olin, about Vita Vea. Who was that guy when you played? Like the top
Pat Williams. You remember Pat Williams in Minnesota.
Okay.
And then early in my career, I got lucky, guys, honestly. I played against it. These crazy stories that Ted Washington, I know you guys remember him,
yeah.
You know, all 400 pounds of him, in my opinion, the best pure nose guard ever to play in the NFL. He played in Buffalo. His backup in Buffalo was Pat Williams. So that was an extremely long day for me. I think that was in 2000. Actually, my son's coach now at Loyola, John Holosek, was a linebacker there. But anyway, Ted Washington came to play for the Chicago Bears, and getting to work against him in practice and develop my game was maybe the best thing that happened to me in my career. But as far as a guy like Vita Vea, Pat Williams was like him, but he didn't have a pass rush like Vita Vea. Vita Vea is a little bit different. It's always scary when you're facing a guy that's a run stuffer and he can rush the passer. So Sam Mustipher, Cody Whitehair, James Daniels, they had their hands full this week against that guy, against Vita Vea, because he is that good in the middle of that line.
So that is the best possible experience you could possibly have for your protege, Sam Mustipher, to pick your brain or for you to impart some wisdom. So how does he do it? What are you telling him, if anything, this week ahead of the matchup with Vea?
Well, Vita Vea, now you got to get your hands on him quick. You got to throw your hands right away. You can't give him any ground, because if you back up, he's going to shove you back quickly. And then you just got to trust yourself and trust that you can read the games inside. And by that, I mean what they'll do is, because they know guys want to get on Vita Vea. They know I want to throw my hands on him, really get my hands on him quickly, because if I give him any momentum, basically the rep's over and I've lost, right? So what they'll do is they'll bring Sue from the other side and pick you from the other side. They call it a TT. They run a game in there because you jump and you're off. You and your guard are not on the same level, they call it. It's hard to explain, obviously, on radio. But so you have to be able to trust your senses and say, okay, here comes the game. Now I'll back up. But you want to be physical with him. You want to take the fight to him on every single play. You almost want to wear him out. You want to consider yourself like a body puncher, where you're throwing body blows early. Every tackle he makes, he's going to make tackles. He's going to make plays. You want to be running on him, landing on him when he makes the tackle, and just letting him know. And he's going to get mad at you and probably want to fight you, and that's all fine and dandy. But you're just letting him know, look, man, it's going to be like this all day. I'm going to attack you all day. And like I tell a lot of guys who I train with, I tell them, look, if the defensive lineman is shoving you after the play and telling you he wants to fight you in the parking lot, you are on the right track.
Getting them angry and off their game a little bit.
Yeah, and you'll see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers center is actually famous for that, Ryan Jensen. A lot of people consider him the best center in the NFL, so that's a good matchup for the Bears too. But he is always, always giving an extra shove, an extra push, and trying to get that other team to get a personal foul on him. So for another matchup you guys want to watch, he's an interesting guy to watch play football.
All right, so yeah, the advantage when they get angry and they lose it, Olin, is that they might have the penalty, but also do they get over-aggressive and then you can like help push them along to where they think the play is, but it's not actually there because they're so overly aggressive?
Exactly. So they, you know, I remember a couple weeks ago, Sam Mustipher was doing that to, I think it was the Browns or the Bengals. And the guy got the nose guard got so mad at him that actually took Sam and ran Sam into the ground. But all the while, the running back was running down the field for 15 yards. So those are the things you're trying to accomplish. You're trying to get them, like you just said, not to worry about you instead of doing your job. And the way you do that is, you know, D linemen have this thing like you can't shove them or something. So you just keep shoving them and keep pushing them. And obviously not after the whistle, or maybe sometimes a little bit after the whistle, but you're just keeping them working hard, keep them working every second of the play, because that way, obviously, Vita Vea is a big man. He does have a backup who comes in, and he's a good player, too. I think his name is Nunez Sanchez, but he does a nice job, too. But you want to kind of wear them out. You want to make them work every second of the play, because they are big guys, and hopefully the game is close, like we talked about earlier in the third or fourth quarter, like, you know, the Chicago Bears defense can do what New England's defense did, or the Rams defense did, and hold these guys to not scoring too many points. And if the game is close and you've worn them out, now there's your chance to start running the ball a little better. And then the safeties and the linebackers got to come up, and then maybe you hit them over the top for a big play.
Olin, on Khalil Mack's sack against the Packers, they ran a little game. He was on the left end, and then he came inside in that gap between the guard and the tackle, and I think it was Royce Newman, the right guard, was like sideways, and Mack just went right into him flat on his side and just shoved him. And there's no way that he could like have the balance to stay there when Khalil Mack is shoving him full on from the side there. It's like that's a smart play by Mack. He's great at that stuff, isn't he? Just kind of going in there and moving guys on their sides.
Yeah, and I talked about earlier about the, you know, if you're playing against Vita Vea, you got to be aware of the games coming your way from Sue. And that's what they were trying to run there, is a game where Mack is going to, what they call is pick the right guard. And you can see there, we talked about last week about crowd noise being important for the Bears defense. And Rodgers actually comes up and points out to his offensive line, or tries to redirect his protection and put them on DeAndre Houston Carson. I'm figuring because, you know, they ran a game a couple weeks before where DeAndre Houston Carson picks Mack's guy, and Mack's guy comes inside. I mean, Mack comes inside for the sack, but Newman doesn't get it there, probably because of the crowd noise, slides the wrong way, and the right tackle thinks he's sliding to him, and it's just miscommunication there, and Mack comes free for a sack. And it actually happened again later in the game with Akeem Hicks sack with Royce Newman again, because of the crowd noise, because of lack of communication, Akeem Hicks comes free, and that's when, you know, announcers and everybody's screaming, how in the hell can you leave Hicks or Mack free? But it just happens on the road. It happens with young offensive linemen like Royce Newman. But you're right, when Khalil Mack does come inside there and you are facing the other way and your eyes are not on him, you're about to get cleaned out.
Olin, I've said before on the show that I think in the new NFL, where there's so much emphasis on snap and throw, quick release, get the ball out in 2.5 seconds or less, that while a great pass rusher is obviously still super valuable, I would say it's now the third most valuable position in football, and a great corner has jumped in front of it because of coverage necessity. Like, I'm thinking about Brady. It seems like the guy never gets hit. So if you have guys who can cover for like a little bit extra to help get rid of his quick release, it matters. Where do you come out on that debate? And it's kind of supported in the analytics community. It's like a new school, old school thing of, would you rather have the lockdown corner or the stalwart edge rusher?
I'd probably take the lockdown corner.
Interesting. Okay, you're with
me. Just because, you know, I just think that guy, if I could put him and take somebody out of the game, right, and have that guy hold the ball for one more second, I think I can find a way to design a pass rush, obviously. But if you're choosing one or the other, I'd probably take the lockdown corner there, because like you said, there's a way to beat. You know, I could put a tight end outside that pass rusher and chip him and crack him all day, and then take him out of the game, right? So the lockdown corner, if they put him on my best receiver, take that away, and then they have a chance to double everybody else. Now I'm really struggling to find a way to get explosive plays and get the ball in the end zone.
So for a guy like Jalen Johnson this week, like last week he was able to just go wherever Devontae Adams went. We don't know about Antonio Brown. You expect him to be back just on one side with Evans and Godwin and all the options, or do you think he trails someone?
Yeah, that is the problem, right, with Tampa Bay's offense. You know, they came out today with all their injuries, and I was like, oh, good, they got some guys injured. And you went back and looked at the names of all the guys they still have, and you weren't very happy anymore. But you'd expect him to play his side, or they use him as a chess piece, but I would expect him to be on just one guy, right, with Mike Evans, Godwin. I know Brown is out, but they have so many weapons that, you know, you might as well leave him on his side of the field and let him just cover over there. Because sometimes last week I thought in the slot, you know, either he thought he had help or he didn't have help, and that's the problem when you move a guy all over the place and now you're running a zone blitz like they were running when Devontae Adams had his 41-yard game, and it looked like he thought maybe Gibson would take him or maybe he thought he had safety help. But now there's just, you know, he doesn't know that position as well as he knows his right cornerback position. So I would expect him to probably stay where he is just so they could be really clean on all their assignments and communication.
Hey, Olin, when former players are sitting around talking with a beer or three, and you're
or ten,
and Tom Brady being this good and this quick and this this healthy and this agile at 44 comes up, what's the conversation like? Like what do people say? They buying this from Tom Brady?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're just talking about him playing at this age, I mean, I think you see a lot. You'll see that more and more just because quarterbacks don't get hit a lot at all, right? And you have a chance to stay healthy really all through camp, all week really. And now even in games, you rarely get touched. We saw a couple weeks ago where the referee even broke up blocking mid-play. You can't block Tom Brady anymore. So I think that the arm, you know, the footwork, stay in that pocket. His mind is obviously extremely sharp. We talked about that. I think that was last week, how impressive he was when he threw for all those yards in the snow against us, how much he recognizes everything. And now even though maybe his physical skills deteriorate a little bit, he looks just as fast because he's anticipating everything and the ball is coming out even faster because he knows what you're doing. And the quarterback position is not, you don't have to like sprint, run down the field, block somebody. You don't really have to be physically overly strong. No one's running into you. You don't have to sit them down and all those things. But the thing that amazes guys like us, you know, guys, former players the most, is just the winning he does and all the Super Bowls he has and the way he leads teams, because we all know how hard that is, how hard it is to get to the Super Bowl, how hard it is to even get one ring. And this guy seems to have the magic formula wherever he goes. So more than him playing this long, because I think you may see that more and more now with the way they protect the quarterback. I mean, I remember Drew Brees, they got rid of him in San Diego because he couldn't stay healthy. And then all the rules changed and he had a great career in New Orleans. So these quarterbacks can stay healthy longer now. I think the most amazing thing about Tom Brady is just the way he constantly wins, and he wins and make plays late in the game. Even if you look at this year, right in Dallas, I think he got the ball back with under 2 minutes when they played Dallas in the week one. And you were like, that's too much time. And you end up correct, right? Because this guy just knows how to win.
Owen, big game tonight. You mentioned Loyola earlier, mm-hmm. right? Loyola mm-hmm. against Mount Carmel tonight, your mm-hmm. son's team. What's Owen Kreutz like watching one of these games?
You know, obviously nervous when your son's on the field. You want them to play well, but Coach Lynch, Mount Carmel's coach, and Coach Holosek always have great battles. It's always a chess match. Mount Carmel is a great setting for football on a Friday night. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they redid their field maybe 3-4 years ago. It's an amazing place to watch a football game. Two tough teams. It's going to be really fun to go down there and watch them. Just hoping traffic is not that bad. But obviously, we'll go down there and enjoy a football game on a Friday night. If you ask me, guys, there's nothing better.
It's pretty cool. Jordan Lynch and John Holosek coaching mm-hmm. high school football, and yeah. Olin Kreutz.
And they're well-coached teams now, Speak, man. They're well-coached. They do a hell of a job down there at Mount Carmel, and Coach Holosek obviously does a hell of a job at Loyola. So it's going to be a fun game to watch.
And then last thing, Owen, I apologize. Shouldn't get you out of here without asking you. What did you make of what Brett Bielema said? He said he was taken out of context, was talking about recruiting and the whole thing. Obviously, something you follow closely. What did you make of what Brett Bielema said?
Yeah, obviously, my son's down there, so I don't want to really analyze what they're doing down there. He's a true freshman, just trying to work his way onto the team. I think they're trying to turn that program around, right? And they got a ways to go, and I think the players understand that. I think the players understand that they have a long way to go. I think the coaches understand that, and I think that they all understand they got to be all in the same boat together, working in one direction.
Olin, we'll be listening to you this weekend, man. Enjoy the game tonight. Thanks, as always, for the time, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. That's Olin Kreutz with us. Top of the hour, by the way, was brought to you by DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, it's a tough spot because Josh Kreutz decides to go to Illinois and thinking about Lovey and – now he's got Bielema.
Yeah, I mean, changing coaches. It's college football, man. There's always something that'll muddy the waters. But now that the player transfer portal, it's a different thing, right? You can transfer a lot easier now for players without having to sit out. So a little bit of equity coming back in the direction of players. Here we go. I don't like that production at all, Tammy.
Been on the show a couple times, your good buddy Ben Kaplan.
What up, Cap? Thanks for the roast.
Hey, Danny. Happy birthday.
What's up, buddy?
So last year for your birthday, I came on the show and I talked about the highlight of your athletic career, a game-winning bunt in Little League. So yeah. I racked my brain trying to think about another achievement from Danny's time in youth sports. But really the only image I kept coming back to is you in fourth grade basketball, walking the ball up the court, pointing and waving and directing people around like you were some sort of crossing guard. Danny might not have been an elite ball handler or shooter, but you were definitely top notch at pretending like you knew how to conduct an offense.
Thank you.
You were a true player coach out there. You were the Tree Rollins of the Glencoe Park District House League.
God, coming from someone who actually was a successful point guard, it is mortifying.
I love the Tree Rollins reference. Did he bite somebody in a scrum? Is that what Danny did?
No, Tree Rollins is just the last person I could think of that was a player coach. We got to bring that back.
Yeah, appreciate anyway, it, Cap. I'll see you tomorrow. You can tell these guys even more embarrassing stories about me. Thank you.
Well, I got something else for you, Danny.
Oh, of course. Great. Of course you did.
Yeah, in all seriousness, though, every year around this time, feel the temperature dropping, the sun setting earlier and earlier, the leaves start falling, and realize that means it's almost your birthday. It also means it's the time of year where I start feeling like Chucky, Ben Affleck's character from Good Will Hunting. The best part of my October is when I think Shane isn't going to text me for this birthday show. That you're finally famous enough that actual celebrities will pretend to be friends with you and do this roast instead of me. And I think to myself, maybe this year he'll finally be big enough to have John Cusack wish him a happy birthday or have Vince Vaughn throw some Wedding Crashers quotes at him. And every year, you and your audience are stuck with me and the rest of the people that have known you since you're 8.
Yeah.
So maybe next year.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you. I'm still trying. That's Ben Kaplan, my lifelong friends. Nick Wright's a celebrity, kind of.
He didn't call.
He only recorded.
Sent in a recording.
He only recorded.
And he had all day, too, by the way. He called me this morning. He's like, hey, you mind if I record it? Yeah, sounds good, man.
God. It's all so mortifying because it's true. I can't settle into this show today. Can't settle in. Making a Brett Bielema point, Tanny's production hits me with another person.
I think
from
that's
my
the idea.
No, I know. I know. Thank you. I figured it out. It's mortifying.
This is where I'm supposed to come in with an update on the Alec Baldwin story.
Yeah.
But I don't have anything. No. Unfortunately, there's nothing new.
Though.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That update was good, though. You know it was good. Even the second one. I could just keep reading from the same story. But I'll just keep it here for your updates.
Thank you.
I promise.
We go to Tampa in 15 minutes. That probably won't be interrupted as we can get the Bucks' perspective on this game. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score. Dane and Tanny, hope you're staying warm and inside from the snow. Care about you guys. Hope you're staying warm from the snow, whatever that meant. Bottom of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo.
Pound of shrimp tomorrow. 1 pound of shrimp.
Yeah, for the
how many people are coming? 25, maybe 30.
Yeah, for the non-surprise surprise party. Yeah, you guys are all coming. I've got a full-on raging Chibisky.
The one that ruined the surprise. Say hello to your wife.
Yeah. Yes. Hello, my lovely wife, as I continue to get roasted by the people I love most. How are you?
I'm good. Happy birthday. First of all, I did not ruin the surprise. Shane, Tanny, Matt Spiegel. If you will go back and read the text invite that I sent you, I said the planning is a surprise. I will let him know about it on his actual birthday, which is today.
Oh.
So please go back and reread that. And surprise.
Steph, this is a Danny roast, not a Matt, Shane, and Tanny roast.
I also have some Danny material, you guys. I've lived with this man for the better part of a decade, so I have some great adult Danny material, but I will focus on two things that happened just this week.
Oh, no.
So you guys know that there was a full moon a couple of days ago. I think this was like Tuesday night or Wednesday night. My husband, not very romantic. Sometimes he has his moments. He comes out of his office, not actually an office. It's a large room with a large couch, his recliner, lots of big screen TVs. He comes out, he's watching sports. He's like, hey, like, the moon's supposed to be really pretty. Let's walk out on the golf course and look at it. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is great. He's going to be romantic. I put my shoes on. I get my sweatshirt on. We walk out there. We're on the green. We're out there. I kid you not, less than 10 seconds. He goes, it's not that impressive. Walks inside. Doesn't try and hold my hand. No kiss. No, I love you. So I follow him back inside. And I'm like, hey, man, what's up? Like, I thought that was going to be something. And he was like, yeah, I forgot my shoes. My feet got cold. Walked back into the office. And I was like, awesome. That's where we're at right now in my life.
Wow.
So,
yeah, that
true story.
That
true story.
Basically exactly as she said.
I give you guys 6 months.
Oh,
we're going on 5 years. So
I'm kidding.
It a little longer.
Yeah, no, he's romantic, just not that.
That was rough. It's true. I walked into the golf course bare feet and it was cold and
it was a beautiful moon and you just walked right back inside.
I thought
so,
it was gonna be like an orange moon or like a bigger I wasn't that impressed with
Danny,
the moon.
It's never just about the moon.
Yeah, clearly. I'm supposed to have a nice moment in the dark with my wife.
She's more important than the moon.
Yeah, right.
Heads up.
I forgot. Okay. Yeah. There's another moment from the last week. That's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, another moment. I guess I'll start. I have to preface this story. A couple of months ago, I don't know if he said this on the show in front of our friends, our family. He claimed that he hasn't done laundry in over 8 years. And here I am drowning in my own laundry, his laundry, and Owen's laundry. And I was like, oh, really? So I stopped doing Danny's laundry. He didn't realize that I stopped doing his laundry for a full month, maybe more. So now he does maybe one load a week, something like that, huffs and puffs, harumps around about it. Earlier this week, he was like, babe, maybe just for my birthday you can do my laundry. And I was like, no, I will help you with your laundry maybe this weekend. But yeah, so that is where I'm at right now with my husband. So
good work, Steph.
I love you, baby.
You're domesticating the man.
I'm working on it. By 10 years together, I'll be completely housebroken. I promise.
I love you. Happy birthday. I'm excited for dinner tonight. I'm excited for everyone to come over tomorrow. I did not ruin the surprise.
You did not ruin anything.
I appreciate all of you.
Thank you. I love you. I'll talk to you later.
I love you. Bye.
Okay. Aww. Yikes. Both of those things happened. The moon moment, to be honest with everybody here.
Yeah.
This is the trust tree, so you're okay. It's just the four of us.
I really was just into it for the astronomy. Like, I wasn't even thinking. I was like, hey, I hear the moon's awesome. Do you want to go see it?
That's what I'm saying.
Didn't even think about it as a moment for romance, and then got out there and was cold and was like, it's not that good of a moon. You done with this astronomy? Monday Night Football's on, or whatever it was. Baseball and
I don't good. Even know. It's good that she likes science.
Yeah, she
you.
Doesn't. It was she wanted the moment, and I messed it up. Totally misread the room. No big deal.
You created the room.
I created the room and the moment, and I fumbled it. She was like, "No kiss." Blew it. Ronnie Lane, those mornings in Tampa. Next on the score.
1-yard line. It's first down and goal. Hand off Fournette over the top. It is a touchdown, Tampa Bay. He ran behind Alex Kappa and Ryan Jensen, and the Buccaneers score under the two-minute warning with 1:56 to go. The Buccaneers lead 20-7. And the Buccaneers will head home with a 28-22 win. And 5-1 sounds better than 4-2. What do you think? Does.
They are going to absolutely boat race the Bears. Unless there's any reason for doubt, let's go to Tampa. Ronnie Lane does pre and post morning drive on Bucks Radio. He joins us on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Ronnie, thank you so much for the time. We're trying to look at this as more than just it's an opportunity to see Tom Brady against the Bears maybe one last time. Is there any reason that you'd be doubting the Bucks' outcome here on Sunday?
A little bit, Danny and Matt, and good to be on with you guys. The secondary is really banged up. The Buccaneers are dead last in pass defense. So that is my concern. You know, you've got some pretty good receivers in Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney, just a man. Darnell can really fly. So if he gets behind the secondary, they could do some damage if young Justin Fields can get the ball to him.
Yeah. What is the state of those corners? What number are we on here? Because he went out and got Richard Sherman, and then he got hurt too. What are we down to? Are we at 5-6? Are we at 7-8 at this point?
We're down there. By the way, fellas, this is the 7th starting cornerback trio of the season. 2 of the 3 opening day corners or opening night corners, Sean Murphy, Bunton, and Carlton Davis, are out. So the Bucs are going to roll with a 31-year-old journeyman named Pierre Desir, a special teams regular named D. Delaney, and they will be starting opposite third-year veteran Jamel Dean. So, yeah, we're pretty banged up in the secondary. Now, the safeties are healthy, and they're both really good. But the corners, that's a big question mark. Of course, Richard Sherman's not going to be available for this game either.
But the thing is, as I've watched you and followed the teams, like, the good teams can get into shootouts against you, maybe take advantage of some of those weaknesses. But the teams with bad offenses, right, like the Dolphins, the Patriots, it doesn't really seem to matter. And I feel like the Bears are much closer to them than they are the Cowboys or the Rams.
Yeah, you're probably right in that assessment. And the other thing working against you is that 44-year-old quarterback we have is playing at a very, very high level. Brady at home this season, gentlemen, 3 games, quarterback rating 127.3, 14 touchdowns, 2 picks for a little over 1,000 yards in 3 games at home.
What's the status for Antonio Brown as far as you know at this point, Ronnie?
Antonio Brown will not play. Rob Gronkowski will not play. The Bucs' second leading tackler, linebacker Lavonte David, will not play. And, of course, Richard Sherman's out. So, yeah, they're banged up on both sides of the ball.
And without Brown and without Gronk, there's still plenty. It still feels like there's plenty for Brady in terms of targets right now.
Yeah, there really is. Tyler Johnson is in his third or fourth year, I can't remember, out of Minnesota. Hell of a receiver. Doesn't get to see much of the field because the Bucs are so deep. When you've got Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and Antonio Brown, there's hardly anything left over for any other receivers on the team. So you're going to get a good dose of number 18 on Sunday afternoon. And O.J. Howard, who tore his Achilles last season, the fine tight end out of Alabama, just when he was getting going last season, he tore his Achilles. He is just now getting back to full strength. Had his best game last week in Philadelphia.
Ronnie Lane, Bucs Radio, morning drive, pre and post for the Bucs. Is Tom Brady going to do this till he's 54? What's your sense?
Man, I have no idea. It's so unbelievable that he is playing at this level. He's getting the ball out in like 2.3 seconds, sometimes 2.5 seconds. He's playing behind a good offensive line. They're one of the top five offensive lines in all of football. But just the way he distributes it, Bruce Arians described it this way. Last season when he came here with no preseason, no training camp, it was like everything was, you know, just words as far as the playbook and how it looked to Brady. This year, Arians says, it's not words. He sees it. It's like pictures in his mind. And he goes through those progressions rapidly. Some of them are pre-snap reads and others are reads on the go. But he's even scrambled a little bit, which scares the hell out of all of us when he takes off running.
But he seems unbelievably agile. It's remarkable. Leonard Fournette catching the ball out of the backfield pretty well, because Ronald Jones seems to be getting nothing in terms of his attempts. Leonard Fournette, a three-down back these days?
Leonard Fournette has transformed himself into a three-down back for the Buccaneers. Look, last season, he and Ronald Jones couldn't catch anything out of the backfield. That's why they went out and got Giovanni Bernard in the offseason. But Leonard has been so good, not only catching the ball and making some things happen after he catches the ball out of the backfield, but he's also been great in pass protection. Ronald Jones earlier in the season got Brady sacked, and they're just not going to put up with that sort of thing. Same thing with Giovanni Bernard, who had been known to be a pretty good pass protector during his time in Cincinnati. But, hey, playoff Lenny, Lombardi Lenny, whatever you want to call him, he's playing at a super high level too right now.
Ronnie, I mean, this might seem like a dumb question or rudimentary, but, you know, he's so associated with the Patriots, but then he comes down there and wins a Super Bowl. Like, how much has Tampa embraced the Bucs and Tom Brady?
It's TB12 everywhere, all over town. Now, I do see some jerseys, I don't know who made these, that have the Patriots color and the Bucs colors. It's like split with the TB12 with the Brady on it. But, yeah, the town loves him. And it's not just Brady. Brady has taken the Bucs to the promised land, but you have the baseball team going to the American League playoffs the last 3 years in a row. And, of course, the Lightning have won the Stanley Cup championship 2 years running. So we're calling ourselves Tampa Bay, man. It feels great.
It's grim. It's grim for us, Ronnie, but you enjoy yourself.
City. Yeah, it's another city we have to be jealous of.
Everyone. Yeah, everybody we talk to, pretty much. Ronnie, we're enduring Matt Nagy, and we widely suspect that this might be his final year. Should we want Byron Leftwich? Tell us about Byron Leftwich as a communicator and as a leader, to the best of your knowledge.
Well, I wish you guys could talk to Tom Brady about that, because Brady loves Leftwich and says he definitely is going to be a good head coach. Not just a head coach in the NFL, but he thinks Leftwich is going to be one of the best. He says he has a great offensive mind. He and Brady, it's like they've been working together all their lives. But, yeah, Leftwich is going to get that opportunity. We also think Todd Bowles is going to get another opportunity to become a head coach in the NFL. So both of those guys, those two coordinators, are probably going to be missing from the team next season.
You know, I used to cover the Chiefs in Kansas City, and Andy Reid he did it for Matt Nagy. He gave up the play calling for a few weeks stretch, and it kind of helped bolster him as a head coaching candidate. And he did the same thing for Doug Peterson, and it got him the job in Philly. I was reading that Bruce Arians said, you know, I'm not even in the offensive meetings. That's all Leftwich. Is that possibly true? Like, is all of the coaching and schematic success of the Bucs offense attributed to Leftwich?
It is, and we didn't believe it ourselves last season when, you know, he said he was going to turn the play calling over to Leftwich, and you know, we had the owners probably thinking to themselves, okay, we didn't hire you, Bruce Arians, not to call games. That's what you're known for. But he turned it over to Leftwich, and they got off to a slow start. But once they learned all of the intricacies of the offense and what they needed to do and all the weapons they had at their disposal, got used to it, we all saw what happened after they were 7-5 and that loss to Kansas City. They went on to win every game, like 8 in a row, all the way through the Super Bowl. So it was unbelievable.
Good stuff. Ronnie Lane, pre and post for the Bucks Morning Drive, Bucks Radio, Bucks Radio Network. Ronnie, thank you so much for the time. Thank you.
Fellows, have a great weekend.
Thanks,
you as
Ronnie.
Well. Enjoy the game.
So yeah. There Bye-bye. Is a protege and play caller, a very successful play caller, more than Matt Nagy was in terms of weeks of doing it, time of doing it, success, and seemingly more autonomy as an offensive play caller than Andy Reid's guys. Interesting.
Very interesting. Great question by you. It's so hard for me to believe. Like, I'm not saying that he's wrong, obviously. I don't know. But it's so hard. Bruce Arians been an offensive guy his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
He gets Tom Brady and he leaves the offensive room? It just doesn't, it sounds like something, because Andy Reid, it wasn't really true.
Right.
What he did for Peterson, what he did for Nagy, but it's like, it's what a good coach does for, you know, his apprentices. He tries to get them a job and he talks them up. And I'm not saying that Leftwich won't be a great coach, but Bruce Arians is there, Tom Brady's there. It's tough to know and parse out exactly what he's responsible for, just like it was with Nagy, with Andy Reid, and just like it is with so many of these guys.
Bruce Arians hasn't been a head coach long enough to have a tree, really. Like, there's more of a Brady tree than anything, like Josh McDaniels, Charlie Weiss, like people.
Eric Mangini.
Right.
Yeah, there were so many guys, offense and defense, off of that Belichick Brady tree. Yeah.
Bill O'Brien is another. So there's three offensive minds off the Brady tree with limited levels of success. So Brady can make guys look great. But I've always liked the way Arians thinks about it. Always liked the way he thinks about offense and the way that he deals with quarterbacks. So. I'm intrigued by Leftwich.
I am too. Hell yeah. I mean, it's the endorsements of Bruce Arians and Tom Brady and the offensive production matter, but it will be one of the same types of conversations of trying to parse responsibility, right? Is how much of it is Brady's credit? How much of it's Arians' credit? How much of it's Leftwich credit?
God, I love that guy's radio voice too.
Really strong.
Man.
I love talking to that guy.
I thought it was Gene Deckerhoff. At first, I thought it was him. Thought it was the legend himself.
Tanny's Open today just showed how much all of these guys on the show truly love me. The budget that they put into it was spectacular. Next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.